Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
She is a distant ancestor of Jesus Christ, a more immediate ancestor of the Old Testament King David. But Jesus, David, and Ruth are all bound together by the same covenant, by the same God, and by the same promise of the Savior. How does she play into the ancestry of Jesus and the promise thereof, and the theme of redemption that we find in this Old Testament book? The church remembers Ruth tomorrow. We'll be remembering her today, live this Friday afternoon, July the 15th, with Dr. John Wilch. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Since it is a Friday, we'll play 4 Issues Etc. soundbites for you, and then you get to listen and you get to vote for Soundbite of the Week. But in the meantime, let's remember Ruth from the Old Testament and the book that bears her name. Dr. John Wilch is our guest, Professor Emeritus at Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, and author of the Concordia Commentary on Ruth. Dr. Wilch, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Why is this story of Ruth told in the Old Testament?
Well, first, it was important for the Jews that it gives the genealogy of David. And secondly, it's very important for us as an excellent example of how God blesses his people.
So where does Ruth and the other people that we find in this Old Testament book, where do they fit into the genealogy of David to begin with?
The story took place in the time of the Judges, about 1200 B.C., and the son of Ruth and Boaz became an ancestor of David, who then became an ancestor of Jesus.
Is Ruth specifically mentioned in any of the New Testament genealogies of Jesus?
Yes. She is and is very significant, being a foreigner, that she is one of the few foreigners who are in the genealogy of Jesus.
If you would, tell us the story that is recounted for us in the book of Ruth.
All right, this is probably the best example of a short story in the Bible. It's very engaging, inspiring, and also very suspenseful. It is a drama of fidelity. It also presents the most complicated legal situation in the Bible concerning inheritance, redemption, remarriage, covenant faithfulness. It involves the dilemma of Naomi, whose husband Elimelech died in Moab. They had to go there because of a famine in Judah. And then also her two sons, who married Moabites, also died without any children. And so Naomi's dilemma was that as a believer in Israel, believing in the one true God, the Lord God of Israel, she was, as every Israelite, was obligated to keep the covenant with the Lord God by keeping their family inheritance in the family from generation to generation. And this way, they demonstrated their faithfulness to God. But she was unable to do this with her family not having any heir to inherit the property. And so when she returned to her home of Bethlehem, the only thing she could hope for herself was to find a close relative to take her in and take care of her. She had no other relatives. And her daughter-in-law, Ruth, came with her because Ruth had come to believe in the one true God of Israel. And so she, being committed to him, that was her only option, was to go to Israel where she could worship the Lord. And so Ruth made a great sacrifice in doing the humiliating task of gleaning leftover grain in order to provide support for herself and Naomi. In this way, she exhibited her great love and faithfulness to Naomi. And in fact, we could say here that the story of Ruth is not a love story, as many people think, between Ruth and Boaz. The only love highlighted is between a daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law, between Ruth and Naomi. But it's a great example of sacrifice within the family, we might say, of life together, as Naomi looked after Ruth and Ruth looking after Naomi. And Ruth's example of love made a big impression on Boaz. Here we see how God's providence works. He, in a hidden way, led Ruth to go to the field of Boaz in order to glean precisely the right person to go to. And Boaz then was willing to help Ruth as much as he could under the circumstances. And then, but the closer relative who would have been under an obligation to redeem the inherited property, and he would have been, and he was willing to do that because that would increase his inheritance. But Naomi knew him, and she knew that he would not be willing to marry Ruth. So she devised this plan to have Ruth go secretly to Boaz. And she had to do it that way because if either she or Ruth went to Boaz openly, that would violate their stringent rules of custom in their society. So they had to do it secretly, which was a great risk to everyone involved. It could have destroyed their reputations if anything went wrong. And so Ruth, at that night encounter, proposed to Boaz. So Boaz understood that he should act as redeemer. He should try to gain the right of redemption and so redeemed the property and also marry Ruth in order to raise up an heir for the property so that it could stay in Naomi's family. That was the only possibility. And this was a great sacrifice on the part of Boaz. An older person, he surely was already married and had children. And and also the new heir could also inherit part of his inheritance. But this shows the example of Christ that points to him because Christ redeemed us through his great sacrifice, which also was not under obligation except to fulfill the will of God the Father.
So let's talk about some of the ideas that you've raised here from the book of Ruth. Here Boaz, as you just said, is depicted as, and I think sometimes the word is used, kinsman redeemer.
Yes.
And how exactly would that have worked then? We see how it plays out in the book of Ruth, but you say he's under no obligation to do this, and yet out of sheer generosity, he's willing to take upon the legal obligation that's at work.
Yes, I think a better term would be faithfulness, fidelity to the covenant of God. The main thing was to raise up an heir so that the family of Elimelech and Naomi could fulfill their covenant obligation to God. So Naomi is trying to be faithful to that, and Ruth also in participating and Boaz in bringing it to fulfillment. So it's their fidelity to God. And so the real point was to redeem the property. That is, when Elimelech went to Moab out of necessity, he sold the property to someone. Actually, they didn't sell the land itself. That belonged to God. But they might say the people leased the land that they inherited. But what you could sell would be the usufruct, that is, the harvests that you would expect to come from the land until the next Jubilee year. Every 49 years, at the year of Jubilee, every property would revert back to the original owner or the or family. So that is what Boaz primarily, legally, was doing. And but by so doing, he would also have the obligation to take care of Naomi. And then by marrying Ruth, he would take on the further office of redeemer, of providing an heir for the land inheritance. But he was under no obligation to marry Ruth. Also, the closest relative, likewise, was not, because only a brother of Elimelech would be obligated to do that.
Dr. John Wilch is our guest. We're remembering Old Testament Ruth on this Friday afternoon, July the 15th. When we come back, it sounds like the arrival of King David depends entirely upon the act of faithfulness to the covenant by Boaz. We'll see what Dr. Wilch says about that on the other side of this break.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
How many Bible studies have companion Issues Etc. audio?
Dr. Ken Sherb on our Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission.
The Christian's Mission takes you in 9 sessions through an overview of your mission as a Christian, centering in the grace of God in Christ. A great alternative to a lot of quote-unquote missional thinking out there.
Order The Christian's Mission by calling 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Christian's Mission.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon. And we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes, but we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the Premier Worship Conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. John Wilch is our guest. We're talking about the Old Testament book and the character it is built around, Ruth. Before the break, Dr. Wilch, you mentioned the faithfulness by Boaz to this covenant, to this promise. It sounds like the message, the Old Testament message of this story, is really that King David's arrival depends upon Boaz's faithfulness to the covenant. Is that it?
Well, that's the way the genealogy went. And by the way, we can say that the purpose of the genealogies in the Bible, Old and New Testament, are to show how God exhibits his provision and his blessings from generation to generation through by keeping the line of the faithful going.
Is this also a story about the inclusion of the Gentiles into the covenant that God had made with his chosen people?
Oh, yes, very much. This is one of the excellent examples in the Bible that the blessings and salvation that God provides is not meant only for the people of Israel, but for all people. And so in many, for example, I think there are three women ancestors of Jesus who were foreigners, two Canaanites and Moab, the Ruth the Moabitess. So that shows that God loves all people and wants to save them all.
But they are all three of those ancestors of Christ, are they counted worthy of standing in that line because of their inclusion in that Old Testament covenant?
Oh, well, they're worthy because they were believers. Actually, I'm not sure about the one, Tamar, but Rahab was also a believer. So through their faith, they became at least spiritual members of the people of Israel, and by marrying an Israelite, they became factually members of God's people.
Do we know or who wrote the Book of Ruth?
No, not really. There's no good indication. My supposition is that it might have been a wise man, but someone like Solomon, probably not he himself, but someone in the tradition of wisdom. But that's just a supposition. It really doesn't make any difference. But it probably was written about the time of Solomon, because its goal is to highlight David as the last word, you might say.
So this is not only a story that would have been, say, for instance, for lack of a better term, a family story in David's line that was told. This is also about explaining how the covenant continues up and through David.
Yes, right. It also, I think, is an attempt to justify David, who throughout his reign was experiencing difficulties, especially from those of the tribe of Benjamin who didn't want to accept him as king of Israel. And they preferred Saul, the previous king. And so it shows that even though his ancestor was a Moabitess, this was through the will of God.
You called this early on in our conversation a drama of fidelity.
Yes.
Many people are familiar with the Book of Ruth, probably only in its barest outline, and then only in the more famous encounter between Ruth and Naomi. What is that encounter? What is actually being shown us there when Ruth refuses to leave her mother-in-law?
Yes, Naomi, Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, also wanted to return with Naomi to Bethlehem. But Naomi argues with them that it's very nice what they want to do. However, it's just not logical because if they go back to Moab, their father's family would be obligated to look after them and that they would have care. And they probably could also get a new husband and have a normal life. But if they go to Israel with Naomi, there is no hope of any solidarity or any success of any kind. They can't really hope to marry an Israelite who would want to marry a foreigner who is a widow and was childless in her first marriage. And Naomi has also nothing to offer. That is, a redeemer may be obligated to look after Naomi, but not after a foreign daughter-in-law.
So she's saying to her daughters-in-law, "I can't promise you anything whatsoever. If you come with me, you may be without. You know, I may well be without any support. You may well be without any support."
Right, destitute. So Ruth's answer to Naomi exemplifies, first of all, her faith in the God of Israel, that she was determined to go with Naomi because that Israel was the only place where she could worship him. And then secondly, it also shows her her commitment to Naomi herself, her faithfulness to her.
So there's really more than one angle to this drama of fidelity. This is not only the fidelity of Naomi, it's not only the fidelity of Boaz, it's also the fidelity of Ruth.
Yes, first of all, to the God of Israel, and then secondly, to each other.
How does the Book of Ruth depict that relationship between, we would say, kind of bound together by faith, even more strongly than by blood? How does the Book of Ruth depict that?
Yes, well, it shows how Ruth made the sacrifice to help Naomi, and how Naomi devised this plan, which would find a good husband for Ruth, and then how Boaz made the sacrifice to go into this arrangement, which would be of no tangible benefit to himself, but only to Naomi and Ruth.
I think one of the things that we as New Testament readers of this Old Testament book find difficult to understand, and you have explained it very well, Dr. Wilch, is the whole legal situation, as you describe it. Would the original recipients, the original readers of this Old Testament book, have understood perfectly, without any explanation, what everybody was obligated to do and what was actually happening here?
Yes, right. There is one confusion in chapter 4, verse 5, where all the English versions, including the English Standard Version, say that when Boaz says to the other close relative, "If you redeem the property, you also acquire Ruth." However, the proper translation from the original Hebrew consonants is, "If you redeem the property, I will acquire Ruth and perpetuate the name of the deceased in his inheritance." That's the proper translation. It's the only way to make sense of the story logically and consistently. And the original readers or hearers of the story would have understood that.
So let's talk about how all of this foreshadows Christ. I guess we would primarily focus on the person of Boaz in this story. But how does the entire story of Ruth foreshadow the redemption that Christ has effected for all men?
Yes, well, as Boaz made the sacrificial and voluntary sacrifice to redeem the property, which then included Naomi and Ruth, so Christ made the great sacrifice voluntarily to redeem us from our sins. And then beyond that, we have the examples of faithfulness and love between the main characters, Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, as also examples of Christ's love and faithfulness to us, and which gives us the example to be, first of all, out of gratitude to be faithful to Christ. And then secondly, of course, to be faithful to each other. We might also say that as we have the obligation to witness Jesus before others, this is really what Naomi was doing from the beginning, which aroused the faith in Ruth, in the one true God.
When we come back, one more question for Dr. John Wilch, as we remember Ruth on this day, on this Friday, here on Issues Etc. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our four soundbites lined up for you. All you need to do is listen and then get ready to vote for Soundbite of the Week in about 5 minutes here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can vote by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. A little bit more on Ruth and Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A victory for the unborn in Texas.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After much effort on the part of pro-lifers in Texas, Governor Rick Perry has signed a sonogram bill that will protect the unborn in the Lone Star State. The new law requires doctors to fully disclose to the mother what happens in an abortion and also to give her access to a sonogram of the baby and even describe the baby's development aloud. Every life lost to abortion is a tragedy we all must work together to prevent, said Perry. Leaders in the Texas pro-life movement estimate that this bill will save 40,000 babies' lives each year.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Monday on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the movie Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, the conclusion, both in the book form and in the movie form of the Harry Potter series. Pastor Charles Lehman will be our guest Monday on the program. We're talking about Ruth. Dr. John Wilch is our guest. Dr. Wilch, hearing you talk about this Old Testament book and the figure of Ruth, I'm reminded of the book of Hebrews, where we're told about the giants of the faith who continue to do and act by faith, by faith, by faith. It sounds as though that's exactly what we're hearing about in the case of Ruth and Boaz and the others in this Old Testament book. Is that true?
Yes, right. This was part of their covenant obligation, trusting in God's promise to fulfill his covenant to provide for them as they stay in the land on their inheritance, and then as they do their obligation by keeping the inheritance of the family and by living off the land that they have inherited. And so, too, we trust in God's covenant with us in the his covenant of baptism, and in the New Testament, the new covenant that Christ made, receiving his blessings, and then acting this out in our daily life of love and sacrifice.
Dr. John Wilch is Professor Emeritus at Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, author of the Concordia Commentary on Ruth. You can find out more about the Concordia Commentary on Ruth at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can purchase the Concordia Commentary on Ruth by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, the Concordia Commentary on Ruth by Dr. John Wilch. Dr. Wilch, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome.